Well, hello, and welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast. Join me, Sam Harris, on my journey of curiosity and growth. I have conversations with some of the world's most fascinating humans, from billionaires to Olympians, and most everyone in between, such as suspiciously happy people and even a hitman. Success isn't just for successful people, it is earned, and you can earn it too. I find out how ordinary people become extraordinary to fuel your own growth mindset. Do you experience stress or have anxiety or chronic pain or have trouble sleeping at least once a week? Well, you're not alone. Many people do. And personally, I'm not very good at sleeping. My mind keeps on doing things. I can get stressed because I take on too many things all at once. And I've had some chronic pain since shattering my leg. If you wanted something that helps, then Feels is a premium CBD oil, which can be delivered directly to your doorstep and has come directly to mine, which naturally helps reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness. Been rather handy having it, thanks to Feels. Yeah, you just place a few drops of the CBD oil under your tongue and you can feel the difference within minutes. If you're new to CBD, it doesn't actually make you high as such, but they also have a free hotline for you to talk to about your experience in case you're worried and want some help about what's going on. But I would really recommend it. It works quite naturally and there's no like high or hangover or addiction and stuff. And yeah, if you join the community, you can get it every month and you can save money on your orders. And it's really, they've done a good job of researching how they're doing all this stuff. So I like the product. And yeah, it just has me feeling my best every day. And it can help you too if you have any of these issues. You can become a member by going to feels.com/growth and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's Feels, which is spelled not how it sounds. So it's feals.com/growth. To become a member and get 50% off automatically from your first order with free shipping. So feels.com/growth. Welcome to the podcast. Today we have Janisha Alora, who is the founder of Soul Rich Woman and also Miss Singapore, doing some very cool things. And it's my delight to have you on the podcast. So I like to start by just getting a quick 3-minute summary of the guest's life, just to sort of see who you are, where you've come from and what you've achieved.
Okay. Hi, I'm Janisha Alora, founder of the number one female entrepreneur network in Southeast Asia, connecting 200,000 women across the region. Started this for 5 years, since 2015, and it's been an amazing journey. Before this, I was a partner in a cafe retail chain business where we're in 3 countries, Singapore, Malaysia, and Indonesia, with 18 franchisees and licensees. After 4 years, I exited to a public listed company owner. Before all the things that I was doing, I was looking to ways to go from offline to online back in 2012. And eventually, I did find a way to go online successfully. And because I was trading time for money, I work, I get paid. I work, I get paid. I don't work, I don't get paid. So therefore, in 2013, I went online successfully, transiting my first $100,000 in 3 months and then making $1 million in a single year. So Soul Rich Woman is my legacy business where we help women to go from offline to online, own and love the F word, being fabulous, having freedom, financial independence, and above all, family.
Cool. And how did you get into the Miss Singapore part of things?
Well, Miss Singapore was a very interesting journey because when I was 14 years old, I work and support myself through school. So I was often being bullied because I wasn't able to afford shoes and clothes, and bullying is really terrible. So there was one incident where the girls cornered me in a basketball court and put open my PE shirt and then exposing my bra. And then one of the girls approached me and said, "Oh, you're wearing the same bra?" And that humiliated me. So along the way, consistently being bullied, my self-esteem took a hit. But very thankfully, I've got very good friends who encouraged me and even signed me up for Miss Singapore. They said that you should just go give it a try. But even though I had little or no resources, I had my resourcefulness. So I actually knocked on doors to ask for sponsorships to get me through the pageant. So I mustered enough courage to join. And well, through the support of my friends and family, I won Miss Singapore Universe third place in 2006, later on winning Miss Singapore International 2006 first place, and then later on in 2011, winning again Miss Singapore Chinese Cosmos, representing Singapore twice in my entire lifetime.
Wow, that's nuts. I'm very glad you got your confidence to try that and became more resourceful.
Yeah, it's very amazing because when I knocked on doors, I couldn't do public speaking. I didn't know how to groom myself. Like I said myself, it seemed took a hit. So I found support in three areas. First, I learned how to do public speaking. You know, this lady, she helped me out. Two, this person, this other friend of mine taught me how to, you know, dress. And then, of course, I asked another friend for help to whom teach me how to do catwalk. So that's why I think that support is very important. And even though when people see me as Miss Singapore, they think I'm a rich kid, but I'm not. It just so happened that through these friends has helped me to, you know, take a step forward to do the things I'm doing today.
Cool. Well, yeah, how long do you have to prepare for these things? So was it like you signed up and like a year later you're going to do the contest? Or did you kind of have like a month to just like completely change yourself and learn to public speak and do all these things?
I prepared about a year for the public speaking and everything else. Because when I signed up, I was supposed to go for 2005. But I think I had some exams during that period. So I wasn't able to do it. So therefore, I decided to go for 2006.
That makes sense. So you know, like the sort of philosophy of you can kind of over prepare and you need to push yourself out of your comfort zone and perhaps you'll never really be ready. Do you think that you could have actually sort of done it earlier, or that perhaps actually if you'd been less sort of willing to do scary things, you may have held on longer and that you still weren't completely prepared when you entered it?
I think I joined at the right time because I finished my diploma in 2006. So it was just nice that I was already out of the school system where I could already do whatever I need to do without worrying the schedule. And therefore, when you compete, you must be ready to win, right? I mean, like the time must be spent. There's a lot of filming that's happening, and then, you know, there's shoots and events, and if you have a lot of things on your schedule, you'll not be able to do it. So therefore, you know, if you've got to set aside the time to do it and be committed to that, I think that's what a success mindset for me is all about. It's all about setting it and then getting it done.
How much did you feel like you were going to win beforehand? Like, as in, would you have bet on yourself that you were definitely going to win?
Well, I had no experience, so definitely I wasn't thinking going to win. It was more of the journey. Mm. However, setting yourself up for success is something that we need to do, because it's just like you got to start and then reverse engineer where you want to go, right? So if you think you are going to be number one, you're going to aim for that and then reverse engineer how you're going to get there. But even if you don't get there because somebody has more experience or has a better chance, at least you know that you've done your best. I think that to me is important, that you know you've put in your 110% and you're all out every single step of the way.
Yeah, definitely. And the same way that if you aim to be just a millionaire, but you get halfway, you're sort of half a millionaire. But if you aim to be like 100 millionaire and you get halfway, that's pretty good. Like 50 million is like, oh, that's sort of much bigger. And so if you have like bigger aspirations, you go much further in the journey, kind of thing. So
I have to agree with that. Yeah.
All right. Nice. What do you think was the scariest moment during the time that you were doing it?
I think there's a lot of self-doubt, not knowing what's ahead. And for us, we were not given the questions beforehand, not knowing what was being asked. And we were on national TV. So that was the difference. My background when I joined Miss Universe Singapore, back was still on television. So really getting prepared, reading everything, you know, getting your knowledge up, I think that's very important. And of course, there's some techniques in itself to answer questions when the judges ask. So these are some of the things I feel that really eats me up sometimes during the path, which is self-doubt. You're doubting yourself because perfectionism gets in the way. So to overcome that, really have a mentor and a coach with you. So like I said, I have a very good friends who stayed with me throughout my journey, and they encouraged me, and, you know, kind of like having that support system work wonders, I would say.
What would you say, what were the techniques that you had to learn to answer questions?
Some of the techniques are, for example, you must be able to draw some of the keywords. I think the keywords come from within. So therefore, you need to know yourself pretty well in the sense that before you go on stage, you need to prepare, you know, knowing what you stand for, where you stand, what are things that you would actually centralize or align yourself, mind, body, soul. I think that in itself is key. And then you really read a lot, like current affairs and things like that's happening. You never know what may be thrown at you. So the key technique is actually draw wisdom from within. Yeah, that is one of the key ways that we can answer questions and to kind of like draw that level of harmony between that relevance and the examples.
Yeah. So can you give an example kind of question and brilliant answer, possibly? What are the kind of questions that they ask and how would you sort of answer something like that?
Well, it's very different when I get on CNBC and I get asked questions and the way I answer versus back in those days. Definitely now when we address media questions, we really need to understand what does your brand and what do you stand for and how is it that you're going to share with the media within a few minutes, like you shared, like I shared with you earlier on, in 3 minutes, how you're going to explain exactly what you do and, you know, what would interest them to lead them to ask more questions so that they give you better coverage during that media interview. So I think a lot of relevance in the things I've learned from my pageant times to what I'm doing now, leading Soul Rich Woman. I think this whole piece when we're talking about learning how to answer questions or building up a brand, how do you get people interested within the first 7 seconds? All these things comes into play. So I think just keep getting better at it. Remember, it's not practice makes perfect. It's perfect practice makes perfect.
Yeah. So what's the kind of thing that you actually help people with specifically? Is it just to inspire them to start a business? Is it sort of the whole toolkit of what they should then do?
So basically, I have created this blueprint. It's called the Soul Rich Woman Blueprint. It's a step-by-step process that has helped thousands of individuals to own and love the F word. So for example, financial independence. So we had a 10-year stay-at-home mom who joined us, and within 2 months, she achieved her financial independence by creating her own product and was able to get recurring income of 4 figures within just 2 months. We had a doctor who joined us, and she was looking for freedom because she was stuck in her own business and she was just trading time for money and wasn't able to really transit from getting offloading the time to go online. And with the Soul Rich Woman Blueprint, she eventually did. So within 3 months, she got clarity, direction, and now she's getting leads from online. She's doing her business online, less so meeting people and less so trading time for money. So these are some of the examples that we have helped women to achieve and own the F word through our Soul Rich Woman Blueprint.
So what's the kind of thing in the blueprint? Because you said that, you know, give examples and like give some more context. So what's the actual stuff that I learn besides like just clarity? Like how do you make me find clarity and how do I get to 4 figures?
I think I need to first set the context because the things that we do here, okay, you just imagine there's a guy and a girl on the racetrack, okay? The guy usually have like briefcase, his work, and maybe his boss in front of him before he starts running and going on to the race, where the girl, she will need to, you know, take care of the kids, do the household, have the laundry, have the washing machine, has the children's homework, and many other things in front of her before she reach and achieve her dreams. So here in Soul Rich Woman, first and foremost, we build a community where we support women like a cheerleader, kind of like supporting each other, women empowerment kind of thing to get them going on. That's the first thing. The second thing that we do is to equip them with necessary skill sets so that they can go into a financial independence aspect. For example, a stay-at-home mom, she has nothing, right? She didn't know what to do. She was a 10-year stay-at-home mom. She was taking care of the kids, taking care of the husband, and taking money from the husband, didn't have financial independence. So when she came to me, we looked at her business and looked at her, okay? And she wanted to sell health products, which eventually after some discussion, I felt that that was not her direction. So we made it into like a recipe. So she eventually, we found that she has this cooking like recipe where it was handed down to her. So we made it into a chili paste. Okay. So this chili paste is something that she can do from home, where she's still not away from the children. She's still not away from the husband. And then selling this online and creating and recurring income for herself. So that's where the financial independence comes about. And that's after that, she'll achieve the freedom of choice and voice, where she doesn't need to worry about what husband will say if she were to take the money from him, because she doesn't need to anymore. And then lastly, she could invest back in herself to be fabulous and more confident once again. So I think for women, it's quite different. So we look at a more holistic aspect where we don't just look at, okay, making money, you know. But women, it's not like that. We need to look into investing into self-care, investing into our own family. And then we come out and then we encourage them to take the step forward to do the money-making things, because it's kind of like a harmony between the four F words. Yeah. There should be some balance in it.
So do you also equip women to do better in like in boardrooms and business and stuff as well? Or is it more just for people that are going to be stay at home?
We have four groups of women who will join us. We have the serial entrepreneurs. That means women who already own like F&B business, retail businesses, they will join us. So these are full-time entrepreneurs. They are looking usually for more recognition. They are looking to get more leads. They're looking to build their brand online. We have employees who want a side hustle. They will spend time to build their own brand, their own presence online to get recognized as a leader. We also have stay-at-home moms who, you know, want to have financial independence and look for ways to build up something of their own instead of selling other people's products. So that's what we do here mainly. We don't really push for people selling other people's products. We push for they themselves creating their own products and selling their own stuff. And lastly, we have women who are in transition. So they are in transition, like, you know, for example, between work or transiting from employee to entrepreneur. So these are another group of women we serve as well within the community. And they all join through our membership. That's $12 a month or $99 a year. So we have about 200,000 members. And that's how they get started into Soul Rich Woman. And then we have two videos a month and one of office hours. So after doing this, they will progress. If they are ready, that's when they'll start to progress to the next level. So we take women through the step-by-step, because you see, when they're at home, they're worried about the children, their husband, their kids, and things like that. So there's many, many things in a woman's mind. So what we are doing here is not more information. We don't want to give them more information. We give them, okay, this week and this month, you're going to work on this. And then the following month, you're going to work on that. So kind of like giving a structure to lead them through a process. And I find that this business model has been very successful, because it has been helping women to ease out of their comfort zone into an area where they can manage while managing the other parts of the F word, like I said, the four F word. And then, you know, they progress along the way and not be thrown into the sea of information, and they can't even figure out what's happening. So because we really truly believe that alone we are strong, together we are unstoppable.
That's really cool. Sounds like it's super useful, because I mean, I've been interviewing quite a lot of people and I've been reading a lot of feminism and stuff, and it does seem like there's a lot of reasons for women to not start a business or do something, and it's much harder in the world, a world that's kind of been built for men kind of stuff. And from what I've been told, they kind of feel like they need to have acceptance to go and start a business or something, and that people kind of need to give them permission to go and do it, rather than like men just go and do stuff because they feel like doing it. And so I think like having a network of other women around that kind of tell you, yeah, you can go do this, and like be able to get advice from other people sounds like really, really useful.
I think culturally for us Asians, when we were brought up, like for example, in Vietnam, the women there, all of us in fact are told that education is the most important. And then after that, you should be getting married and you should have kids. Even from Vietnam, some of our women partners in Hanoi, they were told, if you do entrepreneurship, you're not seen as being a good girl, right? So because of all this society stigma and family pressures, women tend to not want to step out because of the fear. That is why we need the support to kind of ease the women out of the situation so that they know that there's another place where they feel fully supported to chase after their dreams.
Cool. So what would you say, besides telling people that they can be entrepreneurs, what is the hardest thing for people to actually then go and do? As in the step to become someone that's running a business, what's like the biggest barrier that people face that you tend to see?
There are three things. Usually women tend to think that they are not able to start something of their own. I think first thing is they don't think they do not have resources because, you know, they rely on their husband. Sometimes they are stay at home or they think that they are one woman show and they think that they can't really scale the business because they have been doing it on their own for the longest time. And if they were to hire somebody else, they will not be able to grow. So I think that lack of resources, that fear, I think that one is very real. So that's why in our programs, we talk a lot about how can you outsource, you know, like just $50 a month, even you can just outsource a couple of hours of your time, for example, for things that you don't like to do and you hate to do, for example, bookkeeping, and then, you know, use that time for some usefulness, right? So I think that really helps women to understand that they can scale their business and, you know, really investing in themselves to really take care of their time so that they can function in their zone of genius and utilize their time more wisely. Another reason I see that women hold themselves back is they have not sometimes seen, they thought that someone else has not done it and it's always they themselves alone. Entrepreneurship is a very lonely journey. So when they have not met someone like-minded, they always think that they are alone. So by having a cheerleader and counterpart and a community, a tribe to really support and cheer this woman on, I think really supports them and help them to be encouraged to see that, hey, there's somebody who has been there, done that before. Hey, it's possible. So with that possibility in front of them and not just some online videos, I think that really helps them to anchor the possibilities of what is in front of them, that their dreams, whatever they can conceive, is therefore able to be achieved.
Yeah, sounds really useful. Especially for women, it's like an amplified process, even more so. What would you say were the biggest issues for you yourself building this business?
Well, building this business has not been an easy journey, I would say, because the last 5 years was tough. You need to understand who you're serving and don't create products to serve people, but really find out what they need and solve the problem. So I think for Soul Rich Women, we only do one thing and one thing only, which is to help women to go from offline to online. And that's the only one thing that we do mainly, okay, which is to help them to get leads, get clients online, to look into, you know, building their brand, getting recognition. And we have helped thousands and thousands of women doing just that. So the journey of finding out that who you truly serve, I think that has really been an uphill task. Sometimes you need to go deep in order to go up. That's one thing I would say. Second thing I think has really impacted me in my journey, it's creating the ecosystem to serve the women in a way that in Southeast Asia, because of the income gap that is happening here, so like women in Philippines is earning a salary of $250 a month. And we have women from Vietnam and the Philippines basically earning about the same range. Women from Indonesia earning about the same range. So that's why our business, when we set this system up, we are serving women at $12 a month. Because if you charge them $300 a month or $300 a year, they will not be able to afford to even do something about their life or do something about their dreams. So knowing your market is very, very important. And thank God, by working locally on the ground with partners who will know the people better, and that has really helped me to gain the knowledge to build this entire platform up to serve 200,000 women, and we are en route to serve 1 million women.
Wow. What would you say has been your favorite moment?
When I see the glow and the thing that spark in the women's eyes when they say they get it, and when they finally get the F word, like for example, financial independence. Some of them just, you know, want to be fabulous. Some of them just want to have freedom. Some of them want to balance time and family. So for me, that spark and that glow really makes me wake up every single morning, feeling motivated, doing the things what I'm doing, and still keep on going.
Cool. Where do you see things going in 5 years' time? What's your sort of big goal?
Well, we'll be hitting 1 million probably this year, if not by next year. I think right now we will still be doing what we'll be doing 5 years from now. And it's just going to be bigger and better.
Okay. Do you think there's going to be any kind of shifts in how people work? As in like a major change in sort of what's going on in people's lives?
There will be definitely shifts in the way we work. That's why for the last 5 years, we have been talking about going from offline to online. And fortunately and unfortunately, due to the virus situation, the COVID-19 that's happening worldwide, that really, really halt a lot of business owners or even in the women's minds, what really it's like to not be able to go for events, not to go for networking, not to go into big seminars. How can you still do your day-to-day? How can you still communicate your business, your message, and the things you want to do through the ways of online? And when you are online, it's very noisy. The next question would be, how do you stand out? How do you differentiate yourself in the marketplace? How can you be different in order to make a difference? How can you achieve that attention and that strategy to bring people to you without you chasing after them? So I think this whole piece really works into the whole future, that whole vision moving forward, because there are people restructuring their business right now as we speak. They are looking into how this virus has affected them and therefore the need to go from offline to online. So therefore, Slow Rich Women, at this point, we see a surge in our business and platform women coming to us even more because of the situation right now.
Yeah, it's definitely changing a lot of industries. And I mean, it's kind of like a bad thing to happen, but you know, like what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I think there's like a hopefully some useful things that come out of it.
I think the crisis does help to a certain extent. I mean, sometimes people are not willing to change, like having a growth mindset is that, you know, if things are just, like an engineer would say, if it ain't broken, don't fix it, right? So if we as a whole world, we don't put this to an end, I think this may affect all of us. But if we all work hand in hand together, I really believe that there will be a change in the way things move forward while people are restructuring the way they think, the way they do, and the way they want to live their life.
Yeah, I think there's loads of useful things for that. I think also, given like climate change, it's going to be like some big issues as well.
Definitely.
Okay. But yeah, one thing I do really like to ask people is, what is one of your earliest memories?
Okay, so my earliest memories about life, and for me, was when I was a child. We live in a kampong area. So kampong means like a village. So I ever experienced floods and, you know, we're staying in roof house with a zinc roof. So every time when it rained, like the rain would just drip into our house and then we have to bring a pail, like different pails and pots to put the water and then to to get the water in. And whenever it rains, a whole house will flood. So that was one of the interesting memories that I have. And remember, I had to walk to the school, to go to school, and I had to put on this pair of boots and walk through muddy rain, the puddles, and it was in the rain. So my school uniform is usually drenched and, you know, walk to the bus stop and then I have to take a bus to school. So those days were fun, but yet also really memorable, I will say, because these days you don't see such situations per se. In if you are living in quite a comfortable family with, you know, with kids, you will not let your kids experience that. But because of, I think, the time, my family was not well to do, so we were living in under those conditions. So this has really taught me to really be more resilient about life and be more gratitude, have more gratitude in things that I have and be contented the things that I own.
Yeah, it's funny how we kind of quickly forget how different life used to be and we just take stuff for granted. And like, yeah, it was just so different not having a phone attached to you the whole time and just being able to do things for yourself. And you're like, wait, where did I become this retard that can just like go anywhere because I wanted to get somewhere? Like, why do I need to have a phone with me? Yeah, it's very strange. Anyway, I remember what I wanted to ask you about, but thanks for that. It's nice. I quite like asking that question. It's just like an insight into your life that you kind of just don't really get normally with like normal, how did you run your business questions. Although these have all been fascinating. But anyway, I wanted to ask a bit about kind of feminism, and what do you think are the biggest issues in Asia right now that need addressing to sort of make things more equal for women?
For Suffrage Women, the work that we are doing, we really want to help women to increase their salary to bridge that gap, because the income here in, like I said, in the Philippines versus in Indonesia versus in Thailand and in Vietnam, is very evident that women are not earning or get paid as high as men. So the exact pieces of the things that we're doing, like I said, we make education a little bit more accessible so that they can better their skill set, and you know, they can have a more global mindset, I would say, and by helping them to, you know, take a step at a time. Because like I said, women don't need more information. Women really need to have a structured way to move past their comfort zones into the areas where they can function with competence and then move and get equipped more confidently to go to the next level.
Cool. Is there anything that you think men should do, as in terms of their behaviors, that would make things better for the world?
Oh, I love you asked this question, because our fourth F word is actually family. And the reason why eventually we brought this word in, it was because a lot of the women, their husbands are like, wow, you're transformed, right? So it's not negative. In fact, they're like, what are you doing? Sometimes men have a tendency to say, oh, why didn't you do this? Or why do you do that? You know, because you wanted to protect her. You want to protect your woman, right? Afraid of her, of going out there and meeting other people, falling into the wrong hands, of, you know, meeting doing all the wrong stuff. So this tendency of protection of between family members or partners is very real, and we see that every day. So to ease that protection is to introduce them into the network as well, that the men are also allowed part of the community. So that, you know, the men will be like, hey, you know, this is what my wife is doing, this is what my girlfriend is doing. And by allowing that trust being built, the men naturally will understand. So yeah, so they listen, they're like, oh, okay, so we need to listen to our wives a little bit more, you know, just be there for them when they're doing their thing, and they will be back, you know, kind of like letting them go for 4 hours, and then coming back, they'll be, you know, doing the same thing with what they usually do. They will cook, they will take care of you, they will still take care of the kids and be a part of the household. So literally, that is what a man can support a woman. First, lend a listening ear to be supportive, the way that understanding that the woman needs time to build up their financial independence or build up fabulous or build up their freedom, right? So knowing that that time is given, and when the woman returns, she'll be a happier woman, right? So happy wife, happy life.
Nice. That's cool. Okay. Is there anything that I haven't asked that actually, like the last question, you'd be quite happy if I did ask it?
Well, I have a gift for your listeners, and I think this is something that I've been sharing, which is I really believe that women can grow their businesses. So I have a free gift for you, which is to go to soulrichwoman.com, soulrichwoman.com, and go download how to delegate 80% of your to-do list so to your assistant, so that you can actually function in your zone of genius to make more money. So go get that download. It's on the website, and do connect with me as well.
Cool. I might do that as well. That's super useful. Cool. Okay. Then, so my final questions, what is the kindest thing that someone has ever done for you?
I love it when the women, you know, thank me, they write their thank you notes to me. And I love that, because I feel that with the growth of the online world, I think personalization and customization is even more so important. So by having that personal touch amidst all the online stuff, I think that was really one of the sweetest, I would not just say kindness, I would just say that's the sweetest thing my community has done for me. And sometimes that really motivates me and encourages me to go further, faster, and to lead them to go to the next level.
I like that. Cool. I definitely approve of a good letter. I love sending letters to my friends. And I love even more when I get letters back, but it's still really nice to them. Or if you send a really nice worded letter to people, and they encourage you, like, oh, wow, you sent me such a nice thing.
Exactly. It's no longer just a text, you know, just an email. It's like on the paper, you know. So when I receive that, I'm like, wow, that's really sweet. So like this year I received so many flowers, and it's not from men. A lot of flowers were thank you flowers from different women from all around the world and in different parts of the region. So they, and I was like, hey, this is so interesting. And to me, I felt really touched, because no matter where the women are at, when their lives are touched and transformed, and they appreciate you through that way, it's beyond words. It's beyond the text or that tag, I would say, on any social. It's just that personal touch that stands out even more in this online space.
That's a brilliant lesson. Thank you. And I hope all of our listeners start writing more letters to their friends or people that have inspired them, because it's a super nice thing to be doing. And it's really nice to do yourself. So great. Awesome. Thanks so much for being on the podcast. It's been really fun.
Thank you. And more power to you.
And you too.
Awesome. Have fun. Bye-bye.
Congratulations on listening to a whole episode of the Growth Mindset Podcast. Before you race into another podcast, try pausing. Ask yourself, what have you learned? What could you change? How will you make that change happen? Did you press pause? Knowledge is useless without action. What did you learn? What should you change? And how will you make that change happen? You can tell us what you learnt by contacting us through the website, growthmindsetpodcast.com, and feel free to connect with us or our guests, or just peruse the show notes. Our Instagram is @growthmindsetpodcast, or follow me @samjamsnaps for a daily reminder to stop using Instagram. If you enjoy random acts of kindness and want to support the show, you can support us on Patreon or leave us a review on iTunes, and you'll make me very happy. And with that, keep learning and keep growing.